Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. I am currently coming at you live from Mexico City. And you're looking at my ninth house right now. If you wanted to know what is the ninth house in astrology, that is my, that's where most of my placements are in my chart. And the ninth house rules over foreign travel, long distance travel. And yeah, I have my sun and my moon and my Saturn in my ninth house. So sometime like less than a month ago, I thought I was going to go to San Francisco to visit my friend during the first week of June. And that was the plan. The plan was to go to Norwalk and then go to San Francisco, because flights from Seattle to San Francisco aren't that expensive. So I was going to go to Norwalk, which I did. And then I was going to go to San Francisco, and my friend who's moving to San Francisco, who the person I'm going to be visiting, she called me and she said, hey, do you mind coming the week of the first week of July instead of the first week of June? And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, I'll figure out something. And I like didn't necessarily want to go home, or like I kind of wanted to escape the Chicagoland area so I'm waving to my Airbnb host. I kind of wanted to escape the Chicagoland area for a little bit longer. So I was starting to look at different Airbnbs in California, because I've never been to California. I was like, how can I stall? How can I like buy time before I see my friend in San Francisco? And I ended up somehow finding like an Airbnb that I'm at right now in Mexico City. And I checked flights, and the flights were super cheap to Mexico City. So here I am in Mexico City for a month. I've never been to Mexico. So I'm still very much adjusting. The reason I didn't go on live for Witch Church yesterday was because the altitude is really, really high in Mexico City. It's like 7 times higher than the Denver or something like that. I don't know. I don't speak altitude, but if you're an altitude person, you can look up how high of an altitude Mexico City is. But when you're not used to it, it makes you feel a little bit woozy. So I've been kind of adjusting. So that's where I am right now. And it's been a really weird kind of, you know, as the Grateful Dead would say, what a long, strange trip it's been. It's really been an interesting last couple months, right? I was feeling a little bit energetically overwhelmed from all my travel. So by the time I got to Mexico City, this has been the first time that I've been like alone. My Airbnb host is here. She's very sweet. She has a very nice dog. But this is the first time I've been alone with myself since probably like over a month. And that's like a really long time for me to not spend copious amounts of time alone. But if you remember, I went to North Carolina alone earlier this year. But then after that, I was in Arizona for an astrology conference. I was visiting my friend in Arizona. Then I went to Norwalk in Seattle, and there was just like a huge month of so much socialization and not a lot of like alone time. So by the time I got to Mexico City, I could believe it. But I'm like, wow, like I'm alone again after so much socialization. And that can kind of be a Mercury stationing direct kind of thing, surprisingly. You would think that Mercury retrograde itself can be maybe like we're talking less to people or there's miscommunication, but in a weird way, I feel like my Mercury retrograde was really, really social in ways that were really fruitful, but also in ways that were energetically taxing. So by the time Mercury stationed direct, June 2nd or June 3rd, I got to Mexico City and I was like, holy crap, like, this is crazy. Like, I signed up to be here for a month by myself. I mean, this isn't like completely out of character, and this also isn't something like completely new to me. Like, I've been lucky enough to solo travel a lot internationally. I've never done it in Mexico, but I've definitely traveled a lot of Asia alone. With that Mercury stationing direct, I was like, holy shit, like, am I, crazy? Like, it kind of felt like I was almost second guessing, not my decision to come, but I was like, what the heck? Like, it was a very surreal moment when Mercury stationed direct. And what I had forgotten about this Mercury direct was the fact that Mercury stationed direct a couple days ago square to Saturn. And what does that mean in English? Well, it's weird because at the moment Mercury stationed retrograde, sorry, at the moment Mercury stationed direct, Saturn then started to turn around and station retrograde. So they didn't actually perfect their square, okay? They got really close to squaring each other, but it didn't actually perfect. So it was like they were gonna say something to each other, but then they decided they didn't want to. Or like they were gonna like fight or like sort something out, but then it didn't happen. So there could actually be like a legitimate sense of that in your life in the last week or so with that Mercury stationing direct. Like a weird sense of like, I wanted to say something, but I didn't. Or I did say something, but I didn't get a response. Or maybe even in my case, like I did make a decision and I'm not sure about that decision anymore. You know, and it's probably, I'll be fine. This city is so beautiful, guys. It's like one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been, and I'm excited to explore. For some reason, I'm just feeling a little bit daunted, or like the journey ahead is a little daunting for some reason. And that could be Mercury square to Saturn. I'm not sure if anybody has Mercury square to Saturn natally, or maybe Mercury makes contacts with Saturn in your chart. But I feel like Mercury Saturn is square, and that energy is very much still present, and I think will be present in the next week while we kind of wait for Mercury to get out of its stationary degree. But Mercury Saturn can be a little bit of a doubtful kind of vibe. You know, if Mercury's the planet of communication and Saturn is sort of the planet of limitation, right? We can see like we can be limited in the way we, you know, can think about possibilities. It's funny because this morning, not literally limited in our possibilities, but limited in the way we might think about the possibilities ahead, if that makes sense. And now that I'm saying this, like, I'm just kind of making sense of this now as I'm speaking aloud, but yesterday I was having a lot of doubts, like, oh gosh, like, am I nuts? Like, I'm gonna be here for a month? Like, what am I even doing with my life? I was like thinking, like, do I want to go to another place in Mexico? Like, oh, I don't know. All possibilities just didn't seem completely like exciting or something like that. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, like, it's Mercury Saturn. Like, when Mercury and Saturn are in a square, it's kind of hard to feel into the excitement or possibility of things, right? And then, my friends, then I pulled this morning, I pulled the Nine of Swords for my card of the day. And then I was completing a reading for my client, and I pulled her the Ten of Swords, which is so, you know, Mercury stationing direct, Mercury square to Saturn, Mercury sitting at its stationary degree, you know, all of this. Leah, you said, I feel like the Saturn station square has really dominated the energy. Yeah, you're so right. You know, I could very well be speaking to both the Mercury stationing direct, Saturn stationing retrograde kind of vibe. And Lauren, you said, I also have been feeling this Saturn square so intensely, but I have Saturn in a very tough natal placement. Totally, totally. And Amy, you said, I thought it was more karmic unfolding. That could be true. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because something that is interesting about this Mercury-Saturn thing we have going on is, you know, it's acting out very close to the nodal axis, right? North node in Taurus, south node in Scorpio. And I've just been noticing, like, even with the smaller transits, like the moon transits, when the moon transits a fixed sign, you know, and hits the nodes in some way, the nodes always bring up some kind of karmic thing that we are maybe cycling through, right? Oh, Laura, you said Mexico looks good on you. Oh, you're sweet. We could definitely be dealing with some like karmic circumstances in a way. Yeah, there's some things I could say about that. maybe I'll share more personal details later, but yeah, there's definitely some karmic circumstances that we could be dealing with lately. You know, specifically the way we communicate with others is karmic, I think, at this moment. Like the things that we say, especially the important messages that we deliver, are karmically loaded, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, when this Nine of Swords came out for me today and the Ten of Swords came out for my client, I was like, what the? What the Mercury-Saturn square is happening here? And, you know, sometimes, by the way, can I just say this for any of the tarot students who are here or any of the tarot readers who are here? I pulled this card this morning and I feel like I still had a relatively good day. I didn't pull this card this morning thinking that, like, I was going to have a terrible day. Or like I was going to be stuck in my thought loops the whole day or whatever. In fact, sometimes when I pull this card, I try to, movement is for me the medicine of the Nine of Swords a lot of times. So I walked a lot today. Like I made sure I was outside a lot. And it was relatively good day. I mean, I'm just exploring Mexico City and kind of vibing and kind of introducing myself to the city. But on the other hand, like Nine of Swords, Ten of Swords, this energy does seem important to discuss right now. And again, it's not in this predictive tone of like, we're all like fucked and having a bad day, you know, we're having a bad week because of Mercury Saturn. It's not that at all. We could still very well have a good week ahead with the Nine of Swords and Ten of Swords. But I do think we have to be aware of maybe the heavier energy that is cycling for us right now, especially when it comes to the conversations we're having with others and ourselves. I also think that we have to be careful of where we are cutting ourselves off from possibility. And I've been noticing that when I cut myself off from possibility, it goes a little like this. Are you ready? Maybe you recognize this song from your own life, right? But when I cut myself off from possibility, I start thinking like, I don't have enough, or I'm behind in life in some way, whether I'm behind because I don't have enough money in my savings account, or I don't have a real job, quote unquote, or whatever it is. Like, you know, we can all feel behind in some way, or maybe you do have a quote unquote real job and now you feel behind in other things because your real job sucks the life out of you, right? Or, you know, I was thinking too, like, I feel so behind when it comes to like relationship life stuff. And that's my euphemism to say like, I can't get a date and I want to go on a date and no one will date me. I'm not kidding. Pluto's on my Venus. So like all that stuff, like the, I'm lonely, I don't have enough money, I'm not in the right place. Really, all of that stuff kind of adds up to us thinking, like, I don't know if I'm where I am. I don't know if I am in the right place right now, right? Or, like, what if I'm not meant to be here right now, right? Like, what if I'm not meant to be in this place? What if I'm not meant to, what if I'm in the wrong situation? What if? You know, all of these thoughts, I have them, you have them, we all have them, right? I think all of these thoughts sometimes add up to the frequency of fear, right? And I think the Nine of Swords, Ten of Swords, I think there is a fear story that becomes communicated in these, you know, in these cards. And I also think that fear oftentimes cuts us off from the possibilities that are actually present. I'm trying to make sense of, I'm like trying to make sense of what spirit is showing me right now, because, I'm literally seeing, this is so weird. I just saw like embryos, like human eggs, like inside a person's womb, like hundreds of embryos. And I don't know if, like, maybe spirit is relating this to, maybe a situation. I don't know if it's a literal situation of someone who's listening, or if it's just a metaphorical situation, but there's like a sense of, like, I'm running out of time to plant this seed, or like I'm running out of time to kind of sort of gestate this quote unquote child or creative project or an idea. You know, all of the stuff I'm spewing right now is so Mercury Saturn. I'm literally spewing, like, the universal fears of the collective, right? Like, what if I don't have enough time? What if I'm not enough? What if I don't have a material resources that I need? What if this thing that I want isn't gonna work out? What if I'm lonely? You know, like, all of this stuff. Natasha, you said, I feel like this Mercury retrograde was really unearthing things that we have been avoiding. Then Saturn was like, now you learn the lesson. I agree, Natasha. That is a really good insight. And Morgan, you said, I can't get my head straight within myself. It's a huge one for me lately. Yeah. Yeah. Small Flower, you said, am I going in the right direction while also feeling like you're stuck AF? Yeah, yeah. Lauren, you said, that's exactly where I am with the book I am writing. I hit a wall last week. It's so hard to keep going. Totally, totally. And it's funny because I felt called to ask the archetype deck, what archetype could help us with some of this mental space that is kind of chaotic, you know? Like this question, like, what if I'm not where I need to be right now? You know, like, what if I'm not in the right place right now? Or, like, you know, what if I'm... Yeah, like just that sense of like, what if? Very Nine of Swords, Ten of Swords stuff, right? So from my archetype deck, what's the medicine for this? And we got the queen, which kind of surprised me. I was like, the queen? What's the queen about? And I forgot that in, Women Who Run With the Wolves, in the back, there's kind of like a little bit of, index about different, archetypes from this one story. And actually, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, she writes about the queen archetype. So let me read you what she says. So the queen figure represents many things. Among them, fecuity, the vast authority to see into the tricks of the predator, and the ability to soften curses. The word fecuity, which sounds like a drum when said aloud, means more than fertile. It means pregnable, the way soil is pregnable. She is that black soil glittering with mica, black hairy roots, and all life that has gone before, broken down into a fragrant sludge of hummus. The word fertility has behind it the sense of seeds, eggs, beings, ideas. Fecuity is the basal matter which seeds are laid, prepared, warmed, incubated, and saved. This is why the old mother is often called by her oldest name, Mother Dust, Mother Earth, Ma'am, Ma, for she is the muck that makes ideas happen. Crazy. Okay, I swear to you, I totally forgot. I like forgot what this passage even said. And then I saw those egg things. That is so creepy. But specifically this sentence here, you know, the queen has the authority to see into the tricks of the predator and the ability to soften curses. Fecuity is the basal matter in which seeds are laid, prepared, warmed, incubated, and saved. It's interesting because I almost feel like that notion that the queen has these things, like she has this talent of being able to see when the predator is messing with the situation, right? She's able to soften the curse of the predator. And she's also basically able to maintain the fertility of her soil. That's kind of important. And maybe that's kind of a cool phrase to associate with the Nine of Swords and Ten of Swords. This sort of like protect against the tricks of the predator, AKA the mind, AKA the monkey mind, our fears, our sort of stories that start with what if or I don't have enough, right? And Emmy, you said the Queen of Swords keeps following me. Totally. So I wonder if the queen is here to almost like maintain the fertility of the situation, maintaining that the soil that is in front of us at the moment, maybe even despite our fears, is rich in nutrients and ready for planting. You know, it's like kind of like despite the fear narratives that may take us over some time, take us over in this moment, what if this time actually is quite fertile? It's also interesting to think that, like now I'm seeing like us or like someone who represents us, witch church, kind of sitting over their sort of plot of their gardening plot of really rich soil. And I'm seeing like their emotions change. Like I'm seeing them get really happy and then really in distress and then angry and depressed and at peace. And the thing is, the soil doesn't change. So I feel like Spirit is trying to say that it's okay to sometimes have a day or have a few days or even have a month where maybe there is a fear that is on your mind, especially with this Mercury Saturn square. Maybe there's some fears on the mind, but regardless, can those fears and can an emotional low also exist at the same time as sort of this like beautiful, fertile planting soil. You know, because remember in that image, like the person who's representing us, like sitting over the soil, going through a lot of emotional ups and downs, the soil is like, all right, I'm here. Like, regardless of how you're feeling that day, like, I'm still, you know, rich in nutrients and ready to plant. And who's to say, like, who's to say that if you're in sort of a little bit of an emotional funk, you know, who's to say that cannot exist along with some really great moments throughout the day? Who's to say that can't exist with, you know, a great hour of writing? Maybe it's not your typical 5 hours at the computer desk of work, but who's to say a great hour of writing isn't a great feat for the day? Like, that is kind of something that's coming through too. Like, how can we allow like the fertility of this moment, the richness of this moment, how can we allow what wants to grow without thinking, oh, like, just because I'm having all these fears or this emotional low, it's not growing. Yeah, it is. Like, it's okay. You know, fear and some emotional ups and downs isn't stopping your stuff that is meant for you. It's not stopping it from growing, right? So I think that might be the Mercury Saturn kind of guidance. It's okay, you know, it's okay to let these two things exist at the same time. And yeah, I'm thinking too that, let me check my computer just to get you the dates. But I am thinking that, I know on Friday and Saturday of this week, let's see, Friday, Saturday of this week, oh, LaFlora, you said, first time tuning in, I'm into it. Thanks. Oh, I'm so glad we caught you. I was thinking, I usually don't go live at this time, so I was thinking maybe some new people will show up. So let's see, guys. So Friday and Saturday, Venus will conjunct Uranus. And I'm actually going to make a video for OPA on this transit a little bit later this week, with some more in-depth like channeling. But I will say, so keep an eye out for that. I'll post it in my stories. But Venus Uranus in general, I think, is such a great cycle breaker, especially in Taurus, because Taurus tends to get stuck a little bit, stuck in the mud, kind of, because he's a fixed sign. So when Venus conjuncts Uranus in Taurus, it's like, okay, we're getting out of the rut in some way. And on that same day, Mercury will leave his stationary degree. And then a couple days later, we'll have Mercury entering back into Gemini, and we'll have the Sagittarius full moon. Okay, bada bing, bada boom. You see, like, there's some pretty uplifting, I think, energetic shifts coming our way in the next, like, end of the week, early next week. The sort of Venus Uranus, like, shaking up of the cycle. Mercury gets back into its domicile, its strongest sign, Gemini. And then we have that full moon. And by that time, again, Mercury's no longer in the square with Saturn. And I think that's something to look forward to. Just because I think this Mercury-Saturn energy can really mess with us sometimes. Sherry, you said, I feel like all this Taurus energy is about slow growth, but Aquarius is trusting because we want a quicker But Aquarius is frustrating because we want a quicker transformation. It's so true. Like, and Cher, it's like we have the same rising sign or something. But I was thinking that, Cher, today. I was like, oh, like, I'm in Mexico City. I took this, like, nutcase, like, spur-of-the-moment trip to Mexico City. No plan. I'm going to be here for a month. Like, great. Like, what am I doing? And then I was thinking I got here, and I'm like, wait a second. Like, am I supposed to be manifesting, like, a place to live? You know, like, that's been on my mind for a long time. Like, I need to find somewhere a little bit, I think, somewhere to root down. And I'm like, I kind of freaked out for a second. I was like, what if I came to Mexico City and I, like, messed up my manifestation? And, like, what if my living situation is messed up now? And what if I can't find a place to live? You know, all of the, and I'm like, no. It's just what you said, Cher. It's like, with all this Taurus energy, things might grow slowly. And we're in a very karmic time in general, I think. And, you know, what if we are exactly where we need to be right now? And in fact, what if divine timing is at play? That's something that kind of crossed my mind, like, in the middle of freaking out. Do you ever hear spirit in the middle of freaking out? You know what I mean? Like, isn't that Mercury square Saturn? But, like, in the middle of freaking out, I had this, like, thought of, like, oh, but what if this is part of the manifestation, right? Like, what if this pause or roadblock or this kind of detour? Yeah, I like that word. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm taking a detour. It's the divine detour. Let's call it that. The divine detour to Mexico. So what if this detour is actually part of the process? Sometimes when you're on a road trip, you gotta pull over. You gotta stop at the gas station, or you gotta stop at the rest stop to take a nap. You know, it's not gonna mess up the ultimate destination. There really is no ultimate destination, surprise. But you get what I'm saying here. It's okay. I think I thought for such a long time this might have been like a product of like love and light, spiritual, you know, consumption that I was consuming as a baby witch, you know, but I kind of was under the impression that like if I had like a bad day or I didn't stay positive, like my manifestation wasn't coming, or like, you know. And I just, the more I don't know, it just simply isn't true. Like, you can absolutely, again, have a bad day and still get a beautiful piece of your work done. You can still be in an emotional low and have a really enjoyable moment that day. Like, they both can exist at the same time, and that's a Mercury Saturn square medicine that we can remember, okay? So let's just ask the cards for maybe one more energy, like one more piece of advice of like what will help us through this week as we kind of get adjusted to whatever is happening right now with the Mercury Saturn square. As that square starts to separate, we've got about a week before Mercury moves into Gemini, then that square will officially be dunzo, and we got Five of Pentacles in reverse. Love it. You're like, Mal, could you have brought worse cards to which, I'm kidding. But I love that. I love Five of Pentacles in reverse. I think it's kind of, I think this card in reverse tells me that we are loosening up from our rigidity. Like, we're loosening up from, you know, this truth that we may have spoken out loud, like, I can't do that, or I don't have enough, or, you know, quote unquote, the truth. And as the Five of Pentacles reverses, as the Five of Pentacles energy dissipates, we're starting to be more open to different possibilities, different ways that different roads or different avenues that we can potentially go down. Okay. So I think that also feels to me like any sort of scarcity or limitation or any fear that's kind of been taking over. I feel that lessening as the week goes on, as we lead up to the Venus Uranus conjunction on Friday, Saturday, and then that full moon and Mercury moving into Gemini on Monday, Tuesday. Okay. But we'll actually talk more about that full moon on Sunday. Hopefully Witch Church will be back on Sunday morning to its regular programming. But who knows? I actually don't think we'll be meeting next Monday night. So I think we'll see. This might be a one-time only thing for the Monday nighters. You might have to set your alarm for Sunday morning, but the recording will be available too. Okay. So that's my medicine for today, my friends. And I wanted to ask you, is there any way I could be of service to you today, whether that be pulling you a card or sending you a prayer, if you need a collective prayer. If you're new to Witch Church, sometimes people ask for a collective prayer or collective good energy that we can send to you or your situation. And I do like to think that the Witch Church community has very good prayer power. So yeah, whatever you need, drop it in the chat and let's pull on it. And while you're typing below, I'll just remind you that my tarot class is starting in 20 days. And that's kind of crazy. This is the Empress cohort. And if you've been looking for a tarot class that is, you know, more than a tarot 101, but still we go through the 76 cards, but this class like is so awesome because if I can say so myself, because I always feel like the class, we end up as friends. Like I truly think that you will meet a friend in my classes if you want to meet a friend. It's just a great way to learn the cards. And it's called Tarot for Personal Transformation for a reason, because I do believe by completing the course, I do believe that the sort of transformation of whatever you are going through, I think that the course itself helps you work through it in some way. So if you're interested, so on my website, enrollment is open. I have about 5 or 6 spots left, and I would love to help have you. And if you need scholarship or payment plan stuff, you just let me know, okay? Blue Moon Cocoon. Ooh, I like that handle. Taurus gets rigid, but Five of Pentacles is something we build over time, and beautiful new beginnings just showing up daily. Yeah, I like that, Blue Moon Cocoon. And Lauren, you said, I would love a card to move through this fear. All right, so I was shuffling for you, actually. I read your question. Lauren, you got Judgment. It's so funny, Lauren, because this is my card of the month for June. So I'm like, oh, great. So you got Judgment, and I think, you know, Judgment for me has a lot to do with, like, purpose and our soul mission, which are two very intimidating concepts. But I will say that, like, a bad week or a bad day or even a bad year, whatever, none of that can ever take you away from your path or your mission. And I would say the message that comes through is don't overthink this little roadblock. It's nothing that's like casting a whole spell over the rest of your writing project. It's nothing like that. Like, this will pass, and I think you will hear the call back to your inspiration and your creativity probably sooner than you expect. And in the meantime, there's some kind of medicine of just like maybe taking a day to just like have fun and forget about it and kind of like step away and come back to it with like fresh eyes. There's something like that coming through, just because judgment sometimes comes through as like the rebirth. And sometimes we need to give ourselves some space from the project, not too much space. I'm not feeling like it needs to be like a month or anything crazy. It could even be like a day or two where it's like, I'm gonna take some space from this and come back and see what I can do. Okay. And Leah, you said, I could really use a card tonight. Thank you so much, Mal. I'm sending you healing vibes, Leah. Okay. Ooh, did you just see what the cards did for you, Leah? That's funny. Okay, Six of Cups, the Moon, and the Two of Wands. Okay, I feel like there's something that's like confusing you when it comes to the right way forward. And sometimes when we're scared, we might default into maybe like, childhood kind of, inner child coping mechanisms, right? And I'm getting that, like, it's absolutely okay to ask for help. And it's absolutely okay to almost even be confused about how to move forward in this moment. But I also know that maybe inner child Leah doesn't have the best skills, although she's brilliant and she's a magical being. When she's like overstimulated, she doesn't have the best skill set to actually know exactly how to make the right decision forward. So I think here there might actually be like that inner child part that might be almost even interacting with the situation as a whole. And I almost feel like there's something here about clicking back in to the empowerment of your adult self, maybe in the next couple days. Maybe that happens when Venus conjuncts Uranus in the fifth house. But I do feel like there's something there about like, what is my adult soul self saying? And I hear what my inner child is saying, but I also know what my adult self is standing in. And I also think too, this could be literal like confusion too about how to move forward in regards to children stuff. And I do think too that Venus-Uranus conjunction in your fifth house might change some things when it comes to the way you are choosing to go about maybe dealing with some of the obstacles when it comes to your children, and that could be a good thing. So it's not to say the Two of Wands is not coming. I think the Two of Wands, the way forward, is delayed, but I think it very much is coming. And it's going to come more and more once you kind of maybe meditate a little bit more on, okay, like, what does my adult self know to be true? Okay. Morgan, you said, may I have a card pulled? I would like feedback to my feelings. Okay, so maybe a card on sort of your emotions. We'll say that, Morgan. Okay. A card for Morgan's emotions. I do like that question. Okay. Six of Swords. The thing about our emotions, and believe me, I know that I have Moon square Pluto in my chart. So I am, guys, I am the stewer of all stewers when it comes to like stewing on emotions that I've already felt through, that I've already, you know, processed through. Like, sometimes I feel like I can pull up pieces of grief or pieces of anger, pieces of sadness, and feel them just as strongly as I did in the first moment I felt it, you know? Like, I'm really bad at releasing emotions. That being said, Morgan, not to project that onto you at all, but the Six of Swords can sometimes come up when it's like, it's time to almost stop marinating on the cycle of an emotion. Like, it's almost like, and how do we do that? Well, surprisingly, we let ourselves feel it, and we let ourselves feel it really strongly. Like, we stop pushing it down. You know, the worst way to deal with an emotion that won't go away, quote unquote, is to just keep pushing it down. Oh, I'm not angry. Oh, I'm not sad at that. I'm just gonna repress. That's the number one way to keep it around, right? So I want you to kind of maybe feel that emotion through and through. You know, do what you have to do, like scream in your car, smash a plate in the garage, you know, let something out and just let that emotion cycle through. And then, you know, you've paid it what it needs. You've paid it the time that it needs. And then you can start to slowly, like, move into other narratives, okay? There's relief after that. So again, if you've been pushing something down, I think it is time to move through it in a healthy way that doesn't harm other people or yourself. It's a healthy way of processing through something. I'm a big fan of writing a letter and reading it to a trusted someone, you know, like that can help. Any way we can actually express something will just kind of act as the sort of momentum to kind of move us through it. Okay, so I hope that helps, Morgan. And Amy, you said, what do I need to know for the upcoming weekend? I want to see what spirit says. Okay, the Star. Oh, I like that, Amy. I think, you know, you told me a little bit about what's been going on lately, and it seems like there's been a lot with your life and your health and your children's health lately. So I think this weekend we can kind of expect like a turn in energy. I think we can expect things getting better. Maybe even you spending some time outside of renewing yourself, doing what you love the most, which is like moving your body and feeling empowered. And I think even though you might be a little bit panicked about maybe, you know, what the consequences of the last week will be, I think it's all going to be okay. So just know that I think there's a little bit of like a rebirth moment and a healing moment coming for you this weekend. Okay. Kat, you said, I would love a card for this upcoming week with all the good energy. Not only are this big move for work, but my wife is having surgery to further our baby journey. Oh, Kat, I'm so happy for you. Okay, Seven of Cups. Cool. I'm actually getting, Kat, like, don't rush the answers right now. Just let things come to you. I actually think that so many things are coming to you, whether that's like the new job situation, or even the multiple job opportunities, or maybe the right doctor that you and your wife want to work with, you know, whatever it is. Also, were you here earlier when I was talking about the embryos? Was that for you? That's kind of like, okay, because that feels like interesting. But I just get this feeling with the Seven of Cups. You don't have to know anything about the timing right now, because like Spirit has the timing, so they've got it. Like, they've got the timing. They've got the opportunities that are coming to you. All you have to do right now is kind of be the Seven of Cups and kind of chill out and kind of like see like what the universe is bringing to you and use your intuition to say yes or no. And you can absolutely say yes or no. Like, if there's a job opportunity that you interview for that doesn't feel right, you can say no. If you and your wife go to like an IVF specialist and you don't like the vibe of the doctor, you can look for a different one. Like, know that the universe is serving you a lot of opportunities, a lot of options at the moment. And now you just kind of have to feel into which one of those options is best for you. But you don't have to worry about the timing, because I think it's not even a good use of energy right now. So I'm sending you good vibes, Kat. That's such good news. And Rachel, you said I would love a card. Yes, okay. Rachel, is it your birthday or not today? We don't know. Confirm or deny. Okay, Rachel. Okay, 10 of Wands. Okay, let me tune into this for a second. Okay, so I think with the 10 of Wands here, you know, I do like the way Pamela Coleman Smith chose to like depict this card, because we kind of see this dude, he's bending over, right? Like his back hurts and he's carrying a bunch of sticks and he can't see the way forward because he's carrying so much on his back. And there's a possibility that when we get the 10 of Wands, we in fact may be carrying too much or just kind of feeling a little bit of overwhelm or feeling like we have a lot on our plate. But also intuitively, I kind of get something about maybe you feeling like you're carrying something that's not yours. And sometimes when our friends or our partners or even our family members are going through hard times, we start to like carry that burden for them. But I think there's maybe even a boundary, it's like a self boundary that wants to maybe come in for you in the next couple weeks, like sort of like, okay, my friend's going through a hard time, I'll answer the phone and I'll listen, but I'm not going to take on her problem, or, you know, like whatever that may be. Like there's just something here about like how many burdens are you carrying and how much time and energy are you spending putting towards that? And how is that time and energy maybe taking away from what you're trying to create? I also think that the 10 of Wands can come out for like writers and artists when we just kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed by our own project. And maybe we need to ask for support from someone else, right? Like maybe we're used to being the supporter and we actually need support from others. So don't hesitate to ask for help for your own stuff. And try to be aware of when you say yes or when you take on someone else's thing. Is it actually serving you in this moment? Would it be better to take a pass on the opportunity so you can tend to your own self? Allie, you said, I would love a card for my mom who has surgery coming up soon and unexpectedly. Oh, Allie, I'm sending healing energy to your mom. And if anybody here is available to send some healing energy towards Allie's mom, that would be awesome. Okay. Okay, Ace of Cups. Okay, I think this is good. This is good news. Of course, I'm not pulling on surgery in like a predictive way, like, will this go bad? Will this go good? But I do think that something that you can maybe remind her of is that it may be something that she'll need to keep in mind through her recovery process, that is that this surgery could legitimately offer her something very new, like a new way of healing, living, recovering. Maybe there's a new way of life or even a new appreciation of life after this surgery. Like if you can imagine, like, let's say we have like chronic knee pain or something and we just like suffer with it for a long time. And then one day we get a knee replacement and like it is sucky, like the recovery is sucky, but after that recovery, we start to think like, oh, like I forgot what it was like to live without knee pain. This is so much better. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting with this, Allie. Like the sense of like, there is a quality of life that's going to be improved, but she also needs to believe it and keep that in mind to kind of be in agreement with her own healing. That feels like what comes through. Blue Moon Cocoon, you said a card to move through a transition with a move. Yeah. Ooh, Queen of Pentacles. What a good I'm moving card. I love it. Well, I just think this feels like it's really in alignment for you. And I'm not sure if you have like plans to make this wherever you're moving, like, you know, the Queen of Wands really makes her home a sanctuary. And maybe there's something about this new living situation where you can really like decorate your room the way you want it to and want it to look, and you know, just really making things your sanctuary. Like having that to look forward to is going to help you motivate through the difficulty of transitioning through the move. But I really see like this new place like being, yeah, that sanctuary is what is coming through mostly. So just keeping like that vision in mind and knowing that you're working towards that, that will help you get through the stress of kind of like the moving in real time. And Annie, you said, I greatly appreciate some collective healing energy. Thank you. Oh, Annie, I am in full agreement of your healing and your happiness and your strength. And I am in full agreement that day by day, things are getting better and better for you. And yeah, I'm just in full agreement of you shining and being happy and thriving. Okay. LaFlora, you said, I would love a collective prayer for my witch workings. Okay. Okay, LaFlora. Well, I'm in full agreement of your witch workings, and I hope that they result in the best and highest outcome in your highest good. And I hope that your witch workings, I'm in full agreement that your witch workings result in a lot of abundance for you. Okay. Emmy, you said, yes, sign up for Mal's tarot class. It helped me so much with my tarot practice. And she's right. I made great lifelong friends in the class. Oh, that makes me happy. Thanks, Emmy. So Blue Moon, you said roadblocks are nuggets of wisdom for sure. Painful ones at times. Totally, totally. And Heather, you said, I would love a card for this week. I'm prepping for a combined work pleasure trip to NYC later this week, and I've been totally stressed out about it. Okay. Mercury Saturn stuff, I think. Okay, let's see. Card for Heather's trip. Okay, Heather. I think one of the reasons you're stressed out is because you're almost hyper focusing on what there is to be stressed out about, if that makes sense. Like, you know, the Four of Cups person can sometimes be a little bit hyper focused on what is dissatisfactory about the present moment. So he's like, oh, I got my stress with work. I don't know where I'm going to stay. What if I don't have enough time to have fun? Like all of these stresses. But then Spirit is kind of offering him like a fresh cup, you know, behind him. And I think this is a good sign that maybe there's like some abundance and blessings that you're not quite seeing about this New York trip yet. And I do get a sense that work will be busy on this trip, but I think you're going to be able to escape and do some things for yourself as well. And I think the Four of Cups is a reminder too that that it's almost like, don't stare at your stress too hard, you know? Because if we stare at our stress too hard, it just gets more stressful. You know you're going, you know you're gonna get there. You know you're gonna run into some good times when you're there. Like, so just let that lead you. I think that's the message here. And LaFlora, you said, can I get a card for my heart? Yes, absolutely. I feel it. Nine of Cups. That's a good card for the heart. Although, you know, one thing that comes to mind with the depiction of this card, you know, I think sometimes we can say like, oh, I need to focus on myself. I need to focus on my healing. I need to focus on like, you know, just like loving myself and self-caring, right? And I think that's totally valid. I mean, I've been there. I think it's healthy. But also we can kind of do that to like protect our hearts, right? So that would be like my guidance, LaFlora. Like, it's okay to focus on self-care and focus on loving yourself, but also be careful about blocking the heart from new people or, you know, new avenues of love. It's not to say you should go looking, but it's to say like, you know, there's something about like for the heart to open, we have to be open, right? Like for the heart to open, like we can't just like walk around like this and being like, oh, like I love myself and that's what I'm focusing on and no one's allowed in my life. You know, like it's funny. I've done that before. I've totally done that before. So yeah, I think it's like giving yourself permission to open up to different possibilities right now. Again, it doesn't have to be full blown jumping into the dating pool or anything, LaFlora, but like, it's something about like, yeah, I can work on my self-care and have my heart open to possibilities at the same time. How about that? You know? Yes. Okay, Leah, you said thank you. And, okay, Evelyn, you said, how can I bring in more self-love? Three of Wands. Maybe going on a trip or connecting with yourself in, you know, I don't know if there's like a solo trip you've been wanting to go on, but at the same time, the Three of Wands could be totally metaphorical in the sense of like, sometimes when we obsess about perfecting something, it can have the opposite effect. And sometimes the most like self-loving thing we can do is simple. Like it's like, oh, I'm gonna meal prep for myself this week because I'm doing this self-loving thing for my future self, you know? Like it doesn't have to be this big fancy thing. And I think the Three of Wands feels to me too like you're making empowered decisions for you. You're not taking into account, you know, other people and other people's schedules and all of that stuff. Like, what do you want to do and how can you make it happen, and how can you stay true to your agenda? And if someone wants to come on, hop in the car with you and come on with the trip, sure, totally. But if someone's like, oh, but can we do Wednesday, and then like flakes out or whatever, no, we're not gonna plan around them, right? Like there's something about planning things for yourself and making yourself happy in that way. Okay. Okay, I think that's okay, cool. I'm just reading the comments. Lexi, I think you're gonna be the last card I'm gonna pull for tonight. Advice with a connection. Knight of Pentacles. Pulled between my head and my heart and how to move forward. Okay, so the thing I'm thinking about with the Knight of Pentacles that often comes through with the Knight of Pentacles is the idea that the idea of speed, especially with connection. And I think something about like speed is maybe a good gauge of whether or not you should keep investing your time in this person. So the Knight of Pentacles goes slowly into the new thing because they're trying to decipher and discern, is this thing in alignment for me? That's why they're going slow. But sometimes they can go so slow that it's like 8 months down the road and they're like, is this an alignment for me? And it's like, honey, if this is an alignment for you, you would have known 7 months ago. You know what I mean? So that's the thing that I'm thinking of with the Knight of Pentacles. Like, how long have you been asking yourself this very question? And how much longer are you willing to kind of sit in this limbo? Is there any way you can speed up the process so you can get your answer? Potentially like you initiating, like, hey, are we gonna be in a relationship or not? Because that's what I want. And if you don't need that, then I'm gonna walk away and find someone else. Again, it doesn't have to be that blunt, but you get what I'm saying here. Like, it feels to me like maybe you have been waiting around in this very moment for a while. And how do we move forward knowing your answer? You know, like, that's what I'm getting, Lexi. Okay, and Kat, you said, thank you, that does resonate. I feel like my wife and I need to embody the cup anthology of being open and receiving. Aw, that's sweet. I like that. And, okay. So if I didn't get to your question, I will send you good vibes right now and be in full agreement that, you know, spirit will answer your question, or perhaps you already know deep down what the answer is, right? And it's getting a little dark in my room here, but I'm going to show you, before I go, I'll show you my view of the Mexico City sunset here. It's pretty cool. And you can kind of see, I don't know if you can see this, but that castle back there, you can see the castle from my room. So it's a good little view here. Okay. Oh, my friends. All right. Sending you the ancient wisdom of Mexico City. Send me a prayer, send me a vibe that I continue to renew my faith that I am in the right place at the right time. And thanks everybody for coming to this very special Witch Church, Monday Night Witch Church. And as far as I know, I'm going to see you on Sunday again so we can talk about the full moon in Sagittarius, okay? So lots of love to you, my friends, and we will talk soon.